From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Joining me on the program is Jerome Sokolowski, VOA religion correspondent. Our topic on this edition of the program, young Moroccan Muslims honor their nation's rich Jewish history. Our guest, Laziza Dalil, Executive Vice President of the Mimouna Association. That's a group of Moroccan Muslim students striving to preserve and promote the history of Morocco's ancient Jewish community. Traditionally celebrated at the end of Passover, Mimouna is a unique Moroccan Jewish celebration of liberty and community. Moroccan Jews would often invite their Muslim neighbors to join in the festivities associated with returning to eating leavened food once Passover ended. The Mimouna Association was founded in 2007 at Al-Ahawayin University in Ifrane. The group chose to call itself Mimouna because it's a symbol of a shared Moroccan heritage that transcends religion and tribe. According to the organization's website, the Mimouna Association seeks to educate Moroccans about the Jewish culture that used to flourish in the country and encourage harmony between Jews and Muslims. Because the Jewish population in Morocco has dwindled to about 3,000 today, before Morocco boasted hundreds of thousands of Jews, some Moroccans may not even have personal contact with their Jewish brethren. Mimouna members study Hebrew and Jewish history, as well as organize cultural events. Thousands of people have attended their annual Moroccan Jewish Days and recently launched Moroccan Jewish Caravan. Our guest, Laziza Dalil, was born and raised in Marrakesh and holds a bachelor's degree in business administration from Al-Ahawayin University. She works at a foreign diplomatic mission in the capital, Rabat, while serving as executive vice president for the Mimouna Association. Her work for Mimouna stems from her keen belief that education and knowledge are the most effective ways to preserve mutual understanding and mutual respect among the diverse cultural components of the Moroccan society. And Laziza Dalil joins us here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Carol. Hello, Jerome. Thank you for inviting me. Very happy to be here today.
We're delighted to have you. And I'm also delighted to welcome my colleague, Jerome Sokolowski.
It's good to be here again.
Laziza, you know, it's really interesting but also troubling that so few people seem to be aware that Jews have been an integral part of the fabric of multicultural Morocco for more than 2,000 years, long before the Arabs came in 700, the Common Era, or after Jesus. We also know, for a variety of reasons, that the longstanding Jewish community has indeed dwindled from hundreds of thousands to only about 3,000 today. But tell us in your own words why you created the Mimouna Foundation. What's its purpose?
Both of us co-founding the Mimouna, so I won't speak for the president, El Mehdi Boudra, who isn't with us today. But for my part, I have personal reasons. First, I have a French background in terms of education, so I grew up when a third of my class was composed of Jewish friends. So for me, I grew up in an environment where coexisting with Jewish was completely standard and normal. And the entire Moroccan society was experiencing the same thing. And then after my high school diploma, I went to France to study. And there I experienced anti-Semitism. Actually, I was living in a Jewish neighborhood. It was a Jewish friend that helped me have a room in her building. And one day, I was waiting at the bus stop, and an old lady came up to me and told me that Paris was cleaner when the Germans were here. She thought I was a Sephardic girl. And you know what? Even though I'm not Jewish, I was very negatively impacted by her sentence. I never forgot it. It was in 2004, and it completely changed my perception of the world. So I went back to Morocco, and I met El Mehdi in 2007 in Ahawa University. He was very passionate about the Moroccan Jewish history, and we were discussing, and he was like, you know, did you notice that in the university there is a student organization for every component of the Moroccan society?
Such as
the Fasis, the Berber, the Hassanis. So I was like, yes. So he was like, you know what? It's missing something. And I told him, yes, the Jewish component. And there we go. We decided to create the Mimouna Association to represent the Jewish component of the Moroccan society inside the university. So this is how it started. and we were very passionate about it. We were one of the first student organizations to hold an event that has a duration on a whole day. You know, when you have a student organization, you do some small activities, 1 hour, 2 hours. But we decided to make the campus completely Jewish. So we had Hebrew banners everywhere. We had a rabbi coming up to make the kitchen kosher so we can have kosher foods to make the student taste and experience the Moroccan kosher food. We had debates, discussion. The counselor of His Majesty the King, Mr. Andre Azoulay, coming to talk with the students and having, you know, discussion and debate with them. We had a music night with very famous Moroccan Jewish singers. So basically we tackled during the day every aspect of culture.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I would like to say, for full disclosure, that I have met you before in Morocco, and of course El Mehdi, your president, and I'm very impressed with your activities. And let me now turn to my colleague, Jerome Sokolovsky, for a question.
Sure. So how do Muslims in Morocco view Jews in general, given that there is this long history with Jews, but many Jews did leave for Israel back, I guess, in the 50s and 60s?
Yes, actually, the old generation is very nostalgic about the Moroccan Jews. The new generation doesn't know the Moroccan Jewish history. So they are very ignorant about the plurality of their identity. So, of course, they rely on foreign biased media to forge an opinion. So they don't have a very positive opinion about the Jews in general. That's why we felt the need to educate the young people that didn't know how this coexistence tradition that we had in Morocco.
Indeed, and I want to add to that too. Certainly, it's probably one of the most multicultural countries in the world, or at least in North Africa. Talk about your funding, Laziz. I wonder to what extent that's a challenge for you. How do you fund your activities?
It is a great challenge. You know, we don't have a philanthropy culture in North Africa. So we have some few private donors that are very passionate and excited about initiative that fund our activities. So each time we have a project, we just draft a proposal and we go see these people and they give us money. So it's been 8 years they have been funding us. We have the Devico brothers, Mr. Jacques Toledano, that we thanks infinitely for their financial support. This is how we survive, by private donors.
And you talked about the Moroccan Jewish days. You also have a Moroccan Jewish caravan. Talk about that particular project.
Yes, exactly. This is a larger version of the Moroccan Jewish days. The Moroccan Jewish days were held when we were university students. So it was a tradition that we implemented. Each year we had the Moroccan Jewish days. So a day where the campus was entirely Jewish. But when we graduated, Mehdi and I, we decided to make Mimuna national NGO. So we were recognized by the state. So we could carry our activities on the national level. So the caravan is basically a Moroccan Jewish day in a different city. We hold our first caravan in February 2014, and we toured many cities: Ifrane, Fez, Casablanca, Essaouira, Rabat, and we also went to New York City to meet with the Moroccan diaspora there.
Yes, and of course, that's one of the events that I attended. But tell me about the reaction, particularly within Morocco. We know the tradition of harmony among Jews and Muslims in Morocco, but because of a number of political events, whether in the Middle East, have forced the government to some extent to, you know, take sides, particularly vis-a-vis the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, notwithstanding the very long-standing and consistent role that Morocco has played as a broker for peace in the Middle East. But what is the reaction of the predominantly Muslim population and the young people to what you're doing?
At first, actually, they were surprised, especially when we were in the Ahrawi University. They were asking, why are you doing this? I mean, it's not your culture. And we were like, see, this is where you are wrong. This is part of our culture, part of our identity. We are Jewish by culture. When you have the chmisa, when you eat the dafina, this is Jewish. I mean, the Judaism and Islam in Morocco, I would like to describe it. It's like, for me, a 30-year-old marriage. you like each other, you live with each other. There is period when you are happy with each other, period where this is more difficult, but doesn't mean that both parties love each other and are willing to work it out. So yes, when we started, the students were a little bit surprised, and we had some challenges like swastika drawn on our dorm's door. They called the building when Mehdi and I were living the Jewish ghetto. But when we held the first Moroccan Jewish days and they had the art exhibition, the documentaries, the debate discussion with Mr. André Azoulay, the music, the food, it changed. People were more receptive to the culture, and we didn't have any negative comments after that, and people were becoming increasingly interested. And actually, after that, the Hebrew classes were smashing success. Everyone was signing up. So change can be done.
Indeed. Well, a point of clarification, you mentioned André Azoulay. Many people know, or many people don't know, he is Jew. He's from the city of Essaouira, formerly known as Mogador, and he has been a longstanding senior advisor to His Majesty King Mohammed VI, and of course, especially with his father, King Hassan II. And it does appear that your group plays an important role as a bridge, because so many Jews have left for reasons we can discuss perhaps in the second half, have immigrated either to Israel, Europe, or other places. And so they need to be reminded that, yes, Morocco once had a very large and thriving Jewish community, which, as you said, is part and parcel of the Moroccan fabric. You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our guest is Laziza Dalil. She's vice president of the Mimouna Association in Morocco. That's a group of Moroccan Muslim students striving to preserve and promote the history of Morocco's Jewish community. I'm your host, Carol Castiel, along with VOA religion correspondent Jerome Sokolovsky. This is a reminder that our PCUSA podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA, or connect with us on Facebook. You can also send feedback via email to PCUSA@voanews.com. Either way, tell us where you're from and how you listen to the program. Here's a shout out to a loyal radio listener, Tijani Ibrahim, from Kano, Nigeria. And now a question from Jerome.
Sure. Laziza, so do you see yourself doing this as interfaith sort of initiative or intercultural? You speak a lot about culture, but I wonder if your Muslim faith somehow inspires or informs this as well.
Yes, of course, it is interreligious dialogue. I speak a lot about culture because we believe that culture is important. I mean, we could have been more on drafting a bill and suggest it to the parliament and try to enforce it and everything. But we believe that laws can be done and other contradicting bills can be done. So we don't want to work on this side, because culture stays. Whatever government go and come, culture stays. And this is our goal, to preserve this culture. That's why we are working more on the human level. Yes, it is interfaith dialogue, of course. We are promoting by having activities where we make both young people from both communities meet, either for sports activities or culture activities. It gives them the opportunity to talk with each other. So this is, yes, interfaith dialogue for sure.
I'm asking in part because at this conference that you attended at the AJC, they're very much interested in starting and having a dialogue with Muslims that flourishes the same way it did with Catholics and other Christians in the last 50 years. The circumstances are different, of course. There was no Holocaust perpetrated in the Islamic world against Jews as there was in Christian Europe. There's no political conflict as well currently between Jews and Christians the same way that there may be with Jews and Muslims. How do you think these Jewish groups should approach dialogue with Muslims?
Right, Jerome. So when you refer to, of course, AJC, you're referring to the American Jewish Committee, which is an international Jewish organization with members all over the world, which held its annual meeting recently in June here in Washington.
They should know that the young generation in Morocco is not really informed about this coexistence. So what do they have? The media talking about the conflict.
The Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Exactly. So this is their reference to have an opinion about Jews. So of course, the political issue is not separated from the community on the human level and the religious level. So yes, if they want to build this relationship, because I think it was very recently damaged, you know, it's not like with Christianity, it's something very old. I mean, they always had problems with Muslim, it is recent. So it can be rebuilt quickly. But I think the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a big obstacle.
On that subject, I spoke to one of the speakers there who's a Muslim who was born in Iraq, and she had a similar story as yours earlier. When she was in school, a teacher told her that Hitler was a good man because he killed so many Jews, and she couldn't believe it, and she went home and she told her grandfather, and her grandfather remembered coexisting with Jews and told her that teacher was completely wrong. So when I asked her if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict could be solved today, would there still be a problem between Jews and Muslims? She said, well, actually, yes, it would be wonderful to solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but the problem goes much deeper. And she said, because of an indoctrination in many Arab countries in the last 50 years, maybe not in Morocco as much as in Iraq, because of the different political structure there. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yes, in Morocco, we don't have this kind of indoctrinement in schools. Yes, there is no education about the Holocaust, for sure, but there is no miseducation also. It means that there is no propaganda for Hitler against Jews. So actually, the young Moroccan students are just ignorant about Jews. In Morocco, I'm sure if there is a resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it would be really, really easy to rebuild the relationship. And we can see it. We are working on the field. Mimouna, it's been 8 years we were working on the field, and we see a change. After our activities, people were more receptive to the culture. And when we explain the difference between the political issue and the human level, people understand. So in Morocco, I think the resolution of the conflict will make it very easy to build this relationship, a sustainable, trustworthy relationship between both communities, the Muslim and Jewish one.
I have a couple of thoughts, and that is, let's remember that the State of Israel was created on the ashes of the Holocaust. So 1948, the impetus for the creation of the State of Israel, in addition to this Zionistic impulse, the impulse for many Jews wanting to return to the land of their ancestors, was accelerated by this horrible massacre in the middle of supposedly advanced Europe. So the Holocaust was a major impetus. But of course, many, many Arab countries were upset because that meant that many Palestinians were displaced. And of course, they rejected the so-called two-state solution back in 1948. So there's a lot of politics here. And when many Arab countries reject the Holocaust, they're not necessarily rejecting the event itself. They're rejecting that as the rationale, because they know that that is the rationale that many people use, which is true, for the creation of the State of Israel. And what they're saying is, hey, it's not our fault. You know, we didn't perpetrate the Holocaust. So why are you, you know, splitting up the Palestinians? Okay, that's one thing. Secondly, talk about His Majesty King Mohammed VI's interesting projects in Morocco. We know, for example, that he has spearheaded the restoration of thousands of Jewish cemeteries throughout the country. So following in the footsteps of his grandfather, King Mohammed V, who famously said when the Vichy government came to Morocco and wanted him to expel the Jews and send them to the ovens, he said, we do not have Jews in Morocco, we only have Moroccans. And of course, he has been forever praised for that attitude. And of course, all Moroccan Jews see him as a major hero. But now we have his grandson sort of following in his footsteps. And to what extent does that actually reinforce what you're doing?
Actually, we are coherent with our state policies. I mean, it's not just us, the civil society, wanting something. It's Morocco as a whole, whether it is the state or the civil society. So, of course, there is legitimacy here. For the project, I mean, this is unusual first to have for an Arab country the Jewish component on its constitution. So one, this is a major step taken by Mohammed VI.
And you talk about that, Leslie, the new constitution that was established in 2011.
Yes, actually the king, it was an anticipation of the Arab Spring, and the reforms were prepared. So the constitution was issued and granted way more power to the parliament and the prime minister. And also it added the Hebraic component to the Moroccan identity. So it is written on the constitution. No one can say that a Moroccan Jew is not really Moroccan. It is. So this is major for us. We can't witness this thing somewhere else. Also regarding the Holocaust, I wanted to add that in 2009, His Majesty the King made a major speech in Geneva for the Aladdin Project, where he commended the memory of the Holocaust, saying that his people will not forget the Holocaust. So in Morocco, we don't have the denial in the Holocaust. I mean, you can ask the average Moroccan. He doesn't have like an extended education about the Holocaust, but he knows that it existed and there is no denial of the Holocaust. But we see it as the darkest chapter of human history. We see it as a lesson to take. And of course, we don't have this vision to use it as a justification for the creation of the Israel states. For sure, we don't see it this way. We prefer to have more the historical, empirical aspect of it. Regarding the other project, yes, there is the restoration of the cemeteries, but also the restoration of the synagogues, which is major in Morocco. This is an ongoing project, and we have hundreds of synagogues that are being restored right now. So if the Jewish community would like to see this heritage, they will find it.
So can I ask a question? Laziza, you at the AJC conference, you sat in on a big session about anti-Semitism in Europe.
Yes.
In which people were debating, should Jews leave Europe now because many feel unsafe? And in some countries, 70% or more say they don't feel safe walking the streets as an identifiably Jewish person wearing a kippah or something that shows them to be Jewish. I wonder if you could talk about if a Jew would walk around Morocco wearing a kippah, what would that be like? And do you foresee a day, perhaps, when it would be safer to be a Jew in Morocco than in Europe, if perhaps the Middle East conflict is resolved and all of the efforts that you're trying to promote succeed?
I think it will be, because Morocco is really against anti-Semitism. I will just give you a quick example. I don't know if you know the French humorist Dieudonné, who is very anti-Semitic. He tried to come in Morocco to do a show, to perform. And the civil society said, no, we don't want him. And of course, the government listened to the Moroccan society concerns and prevented him to enter Morocco. So officially, the states and the civil society are against anti-Semitism in Morocco. We don't have this culture of anti-Semitism. So yes, the Jew would be safer in Morocco. But of course, there is always an isolated, unbalanced individual that can act by himself. And it can happen everywhere, not just in Morocco, but also in Europe. I think what is happening in Europe today is due to the conflict, to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. I don't think it's the fault of the European government or the European citizens, but I think Europe hosts also major Muslim communities. From then, there is radicalized people. And of course, they live in the same area. So when there is issues and problems in the Middle East, there is repercussion in Europe, for
and
sure.
Indeed. And of course, this comes from the fact that people do not distinguish between Israelis who belong to the State of Israel and Jews who are Jews who live in the so-called in the diaspora, whether in Europe or the United States. They're conflated.
Exactly.
And people who are frustrated and sympathize with Palestinians, and many Jews do throughout the world, as well as Israelis, then they take it out on Jews. So
exactly.
This is a problem.
It's absolutely the problem here, and this is what we are trying to fight in Morocco.
So now, Laziza, what do you see are your biggest challenges promoting your organization, the Mimouna Association, going forward?
Our main obstacle is funding. This is our main challenge, because we think that if we want to expand our activities and tackle the education aspect and, you know, have programs for high school, university, it costs a lot of money. So we have to find a way to expand our donor base. So this is our main challenge. Regarding working on the Moroccan society, on the contrary, things are going better than when we started. And as we mentioned earlier, we are coherent also with the state policy regarding this aspect of managing their plurality of the Moroccan identity. So really it is the fundraising challenge more than, you know, any political or religious obstacle.
So what would you say to these American Jewish organizations that would like to engage with Muslim groups, whether it's here in America or in other places? What do they need to do? I know there are many Jews in America who see Muslims as a threat to them, or they see the same way Muslims in the Middle East may see Palestinians being attacked by Israelis. Often the Jews will see Israelis being attacked by Palestinians. So what do you think, what's the best way to go about this?
They should do what we do, educate the young people, their young people, about the history between Islam and Judaism, giving them a more neutral fact about the conflict. I think it's all a matter of education.
Do you think perhaps what many Jews don't understand is how the founding of the State of Israel was experienced as a humiliation by many Arabs and many Muslims, rightly or wrongly, after having the experience of colonialism? Do you think knowing those things could help?
I think they should also understand that the Muslims community are disappointed that a people that suffered so much couldn't understand this humiliation. This is, I think, what could be a challenge. They should also understand that there is a disappointment here. You suffered that much, you should understand how minorities can be discriminated, maybe be the first one to have higher standards in this regards.
And would more recognition of the Holocaust do the same thing in the other direction?
Yes, I mean, regarding the recognition of the Holocaust, they could start by recognizing the Arab heroes. I mean, if you say to someone, you know what, one of your leaders was a hero, you make it difficult for him to deny the event in which his leader was a hero. For example, there is a lot of Arab Muslims who were heroes and righteous among the nations and helped Jews during the Second World War. Recognizing them would be a very great first step to engage in these relations, starting with Muhammad V.
Absolutely. We praised during the program, there's a lot of mutual education that needs to be taking place on both sides, whether on the Muslim or Jewish side. And as you said, the greatest irony, of course, is that the Holocaust happened in the heart of Europe under the gaze of the Catholic Church. And I think that is partly why it's no excuse, doesn't justify, but it helps explain some of the frustration on the part of Arabs who say, you know, well, don't look at us, you know, wasn't our fault. And now you've created a state on the ashes of the Holocaust, but you have to understand that at the same time, by doing that, you displaced another people, the Palestinians who were living there. So again, I guess what Laziz is saying, that Israelis and Jews around the world too need to have more sympathy, empathy with the Palestinian point of view. And hopefully with more empathy on both sides, we can perhaps get past some of these obstacles. But then, of course, there are the politicians.
True.
They seem to be the biggest obstacles. Before we close, one very quick question. Are you come into contact with colleagues from other North African countries that have hosted Jews who have, you know, Jews living there for thousands of years, such as Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt, Libya? Have you encountered any colleagues, Muslim colleagues in these nations? And do you see any kind of interest in replicating the Mimouna Association in those countries?
Yes, actually I met with an Egyptian peace activist who is actively working, and he was on the AGC conference. There was also a Tunisian, Yamina Tabet, and she's the head of an association in Tunisia that protects the rights of the minorities, but she's not working only on Jews. Jews is just part of her work. An organization that works exactly how Mimouna does, no, I didn't encounter any other initiative, similar initiative in North Africa or the Arab world.
Well, certainly Morocco at the forefront, at the vanguard of progressive movements, including, of course, yours, the Mimouna Association. Laziza Dalil is the vice president of the Mimouna Association, based in Morocco. It's a group of Moroccan Muslim students striving to preserve and promote the history of Morocco's ancient Jewish community. Laziza, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your wonderful ideas and programs of your organization.
Well, Carol, thank you for having me, and it was a pleasure to be here.
Press Conference USA on The Voice of America was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guest. Our engineer was Wagner Roberts. Joining me on the program was VOA religion correspondent Jerome Sokolovsky. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.